Good morning. Welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. A special welcome if you're visiting for the first time. We have some information about our church we'd like to give you. So if you are a first-time visitor and you haven't received that information, if you would raise your hand at this time, and the ushers will bring one to you, as well as some information about our church. There's also a visitor's card. If you would fill out that card and drop it in the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate having a record of your attendance with us. Brother Ethan Schallenbacher is going to come this time and lead us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for bringing us all together in your house today. Thank you for the visitors. Lord, we just pray for your grace to be delivered today in this message. We just want to say thank you, Lord, for bringing our men together this weekend to enjoy a good time in your word, good fellowship, Lord, bringing us closer to you and closer to one another. We just pray for Pastor's message. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Jesus, my Lord, He is the one. song will be a blessing to you. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that he passed, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep. The ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Barbara. What a sweet story, the story of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Enjoy that song this morning. Thank y'all for being with us this morning. We'll be in the book of Ephesians. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being here. We're glad that you are here. I hope you enjoy yourself. If you're returning visitors, thank you again for coming and being a part of our worship service this morning. We're glad that you're here as well. Me and I had a wonderful time up in Georgia. We left with 10 and came back with 9. One of the ladies paid for us to drop one off and not bring them back. So if you're here, it wasn't your wife. No, Brother Jamie Jackson met us up there, and he had to go on and preach in Georgia somewhere else, so he didn't come back with us. We had a good time. It was good preaching, Brother Phil Stringer was the speaker, and he did a tremendous job, and I was glad to have got to meet him, hear him preaching in person, and looking forward to, in 2022, January, he'll come preach for us one Sunday. He was booked all the way in this year, so next year he'll be coming. not next year, the year after. He'll come and preach for us down here. He's preached here in the past, and some of the folks that's been around for a little while, they know him personally, and so it's a blessing to be able to invite him to come. This morning, in Ephesians chapter 6, I understand the ladies had a wonderful time yesterday at the ladies' meeting. If you missed that, you missed the blessing, and look forward to the next time they are meeting together. I see there's a sign-up sheet now already for the March. It's actually held at another church, so it's a local church here in town. You don't have to go out of town to go to it, so if you'd like to go to it, sign up, please. Pastor, why do we need to sign up? Well, the church that's hosting it fixes a meal, and if you don't sign up, they don't know you're coming, so then they don't fix a meal for you. And it makes things a little more difficult. So help us with that if you want to go. The sign-up sheet's right over there, and we're glad to have you go with the ladies of the church. You can either ride in the church van or ride by yourself. It's up to you. Either way, it works out. The third Saturday, teenagers, you'll notice that there's a work day. It's starting at 10 o'clock, the third Saturday. So look for the information on that. If you need help going to camp, this is how you do it. You come do some teenage labor around the church. You're coming to work, not to be babysitted. Remember that. So you'll come and do some work. We're starting to do the floor over in the Family Life Center. There's a lot of tape that y'all have put down over the years to make your games. Well, the tape's got to come up to put the floor. So we're going to be scraping tape. That's the third Saturday of March, 10 o'clock. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've been looking back at the basics of growth a couple of services ago, the basics of growth, and then we looked at the basics of God's power. And so if you have the basics of growth, you have the basics of God's power, which is all biblically founded, there should be a growing point in every Christian's life, a growth that should take process in a Christian's life. And so we wanted to go back to the foundations, the fundamentals, and we looked at those in the basic forms. Sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we bypass the simplicity of the truths of the Word of God that are so needful and so helpful. And so I wanted to go back and do that and then follow up for the next two Sundays on Christian growth and the battle. Christian growth and the battle that we face as Christians. You know, the Christian life is one that seems as though there is constant battles and conflicts that arise. This is sometimes discouraging to some. You know, it gets us to the point where, you know, Why is it always an uphill battle just to live for God? Well, we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he doesn't have your soul, he wants your testimony. Now, it'd be wonderful if all would be at ease and we just walk and waltz right on into heaven. But unfortunately, with the Christian life, we have to deal with this old wicked world we live in. We have to deal with the flesh that we walk around in. This flesh has an appetite for the things that are contrary to God. And we deal with Satan and the wiles of the devil on a daily basis. I think sometimes we are not careful to understand that in this spiritual warfare that we're in, that we are not fighting one another. And that's a deterrent. That's a fog of war that many times we as God's people, we're not careful to look forward, keep our eyes upon Christ, and our eyes upon the cross of Calvary, and understand that He said that He would send us out amongst wolves. We're going to have trouble. He said, you believe in me. I had trouble. I had tribulations. I had difficulties. You're following my path. And so if we're not careful, we begin to, have conflicts one with another that is just a distraction from the real spiritual battles that we fight and the struggles that we face. And really, we have to understand that there is a great demonic power in this world. The devil desires to confuse, to conflict, and to distract us from the things of God. And so as we look at this and we understand this, it will help us to understand that the ease of life is not what we should be looking for. We should be looking for the peace of God. The peace of God that walks us through the conflicts of life. But too many times we want to replace the ease and take the easy way instead of the peaceful way. The peaceful way comes from God. And if you're going to walk with God, you have to understand something, that the devil is not going to be happy with you. He's not going to be happy with me. But I'm here to tell you, dear friend, if you're a child of God, not a religious person, not somebody that is familiar with sacraments and familiar with the ways of church validity and familiar with religious theological talk. I'm talking about somebody that is a child of God. Somebody that realized that they were born into this world a sinner. That they needed Christ Jesus, their personal Lord and Savior, and by faith, the Lamb of God that hung on the cross of Calvary, paid that sin debt and was buried and crucified, and on the third day rose again. And those who put faith in Christ and repentance toward God, accepting the payment of Christ as our sin debt, for the wages of sin is death, but according to Romans, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not a religious person, not a theological person, not a person that's been to seminary. I'm talking about somebody that knows Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Dear friend, if that's you today, you are equipped to win this spiritual battle that we're in. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. I think too often, dear friend, that there's some of us that are like the seven sons of Sceva. In the book of Acts, we show up to the fight with the devil, and the devil looks at us and says, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you. I wonder where he got that from. Maybe it was from the Lord Himself. Lord, Lord, haven't we done great things in Thy name? And Jesus said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I know you not. Are you born again today? If you're saved this morning, if you trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, and you are equipped, dear friend,
to have victory in this present world which we live in. Not the absence of conflict, but equipped to walk a victorious Christian life. Verse 14 says to us, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Your loins girt about with truth. You'll notice there as we read that two times in the verses prior to that, that God tells us to take the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And the very first thing that the armor of God speaks about is to be girt about the loins with truth. Now go back to John, if you would. John, remember this is a spiritual battle, and Satan is fighting against us. And John chapter number 8, hold your place in Ephesians because we're going to come right back there. John chapter number 8, verse number 44. The Word of God says in John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, knowing that we are in a spiritual battle, and the battle that we're fighting against the devil, the world, and this flesh, which is all influenced through demonic powers, there is it not amazing to you that the whole armor of God begins with truth? Listen, we as God's people need to be people of truth. When it talks about girding up your loins, you remember in the Bible days, they walked around in robes. Sandals, robes, everywhere they went. And if the robe was there hanging and you had to take off really fast and get going really fast, it would be very simple to step on the robe. How many of you ever stepped on your untied shoestring and fell down? Well, can you imagine a robe? So the girdle was to gird up the loins to get the robe out of the way so that you can move quickly. Go with me to Exodus, if you would, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter number 12. God is fixing to break the nation of Israel out of Egypt from 10 plagues, and he's on the 10th plague, and he's given the nation of Israel some instructions here as he begins to lay out the Passover and what would take place that night. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And thus shall ye eat." So this is how you're going to eat. Listen to what he says. "With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat the haste, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." To gird up your loins. This is one the Bible tells us before we take the Lord's Supper, that we are to examine ourselves so that we make sure that we're girded up, we're not entangled with the cares of this world, so that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, as often as we do, because it's an ordinance of God given to the local church, as often as you partake of it, you do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. So it's a command that we do so that we can remember. We don't remember the Lord Jesus Christ when we're entangled with the cares of the world. That's why we come and examine ourselves that we are worthy to partake of the Lord's Passover. And so here he tells the nation of Israel, this is going to happen fast, so keep your loins girded. I think, dear friend, if you go back to Ephesians and begin to ponder and think about this here in Ephesians when he says, stand therefore, and he begins with truth, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Having our loins girt about with truth, we understand why he starts out with truth. Let me help you just a minute. Dishonesty will always trip you up. Dishonesty will always trip you up. We're talking about a spiritual warfare. If we're going to fight a spiritual warfare, we're going to fight it in truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. So he tells us to gird up our loins with truth. No one, dear friend, let me tell you this. No one in this entire world has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. And if you're walking around living lies and speaking lies, you need to go back and read John 8:44 again. That is the wiles of the devil. He speaks a lie, speaks of his own. And we need to gird up our loins, because I'm telling you, dear friend, we live in a world that is living a lie. We're living in an age where there's a bunch of Christians that are living a lie. We're living as if we don't need God in our life. No, Pastor, I have God. I am born again. I have it. Yes, we speak with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. We have to gird up our loins with truth. Because the things of this world, the wiles of the devil, will entangle you and trip you up, and you will fall into a snare. First, I'm telling you, dear friend, we need to be really truthful about ourselves and our own dealings with sin. Go with me to 1 John. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 7. First John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our problem is we want to calculate how bad a sin is. Well, my sin is not as bad as their sin, and their sin is worse than their sin, and so therefore, when I get through with this when I get done with this calculation of sin, I'm pretty good. Because my sin don't match up to your sin, and after all, I'm okay. The Bible says, verse 7, but if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, the Lord Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What is the word? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Therefore, we are not girded up with truth. We are not being honest with ourselves because we want to put others under the microscope and clean out their backyard and pull out specks in their eyes when we have beams. Gird up your loins, dear friend, with truths, and don't be entangled up. Be honest with yourself. That'd be like me telling y'all right now, I'm as strong as John Cena. Almost. Just about. No, dear friend, I'm not. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with where you are in Christ. You're never going to get better. You're never going to get help. You're never going to get closer to God if you're not willing to confess. Amen. He is faithful and just to cleanse us all sin if we confess. We do not own it. We cannot gird up our loins unless we are truthful with ourselves. And to be honest with you, every last one of us is a bunch of broken crayons trying to color for the grace of God. Not one of us has accomplished anything that God would say, "Whoa, let me take them like I took Enoch." Preacher, you don't know that. If I see you with this little bitty squinty eye of mine, you're here and not translated and not with him. That covers it. Y'all know that little game, I Spy? And my little eye? We're all sinners. We've got to be truthful, dear friend. Truthful with ourselves. We've got to be truthful with God. Look over in Psalms chapter number 51. Lord, I thought this was going to be a two-Sunday sermon. But I ain't even out of point number one yet. It is. It's only 11:22. Wow. That's plenty of time. We're just doing what the government's done to us forever. They've told us over and over and over again, over and over and over again, that till we believe it. So if I tell y'all it's 11:22, 122 times, y'all might believe it's 11:22. We're out of here by 2:30. What I told y'all? Psalms 51. This is King David. King David is a man that baffles me. A man that is passionate about everything. A man that was full of sin. A man that at this point in his life, he found that it was as if his sin had separated him from, it was almost like truth was living out in his life. Where it says, my sin has separated and shorted and stopped up near God. It was David was living where many of us are right now. And David came to the realization, if I want help, I'm going to be honest with myself. And I'm going to have to be honest with God. Verse 2, he says, wash thoroughly from mine iniquity. So now he's being honest with himself. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He was honest with himself. You'll never get help. You'll never get close to God if you do not acknowledge yourself. Because every time we come to God, if we're not truthful ourselves, we're not being truthful with God. Because we need to have this here division, this separation removed. The only one that can remove it is God Himself. And the only way He's going to do it is if we are personally responsible for what we are doing. Quit blaming everybody else and take ownership for where you are in your life. And then go down to verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins, he says to God. Why? Because God is holy. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. He's confessed. He's telling. He said, Lord, now wash me, cleanse me. verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. He became truthful with himself. He was truthful with God. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when you're truthful with yourself and you're truthful with God, it's easy to be truthful with others. It's easy. Brother Ray, I'm messed up. Brother James, I got an anger issue. It's easy, Brother Jim, when we're right with ourselves and we've confessed and we've owned it and we give it to God, then it's easy to come back and say, Brother Jim, I'm sorry. I let my emotions get the best of me and I shouldn't have done that. That's how truth works. Gird up your loins with truth. Because this is a spiritual battle. Got to own it, dear friend. I got to own it. Because the only way that I can get help from God is when I go to God with clean hands and say, Lord, He ain't hearing a thing when I come up here and say, Lord, you know, I was pretty bad, but Brother Ethan, let me tell you, Lord, boy, He needs you. Boy, He needs the Spirit all on Him. God, I know that I had this little issue that I was dealing with, but you know, Brother Bill, God, you got to work on Brother Bill. It ain't happening, dear friend. The Bible talks about us going to the throne of God in boldness and looking for help in time of need. You got to own it. You got to go to God and say, Lord, I blew it royally. I am a sinner. I have done this and that, and I need you in my life. And He's faithful to judge, to cleanse us from all others, all sin and iniquity that's in our life. And therefore, as we deal with others, you know why we're having problems here, dear friend? Relationships this way. Because our relationship this way isn't correct. That's why He says in the greatest of all commandments, love the Lord thy God. And the second is like unto it. Number one, we want to get right this way and leave God out. And we wonder why every other day we're having this here problem. Gird up your loins. Gird them up. Still 11:23 now. Verse 14 and back in Ephesians. Second thing he says. Gird up your loins. And then you take the breastplate of righteousness. Well, we know He's not talking about our righteousness because He's not told us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So He tells us there in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. We're talking about the whole armor of God. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Isn't it amazing that you call it the breastplate of righteousness? Now, I begin to think about that, and it probably has nothing to do with this. It's just the way my old wacky mind thinks. Have you ever seen an old rooster walk around, proud? What's sticking out? You ever seen another rooster come up on him? What is the first thing that other rooster wants to dig into? His chest. Them big old talons. And He tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're not saved by our righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercies that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ given to us. Therefore, if Christ has the proper place in our heart and life, and sitting on the throne of our heart, when we are puffed out, He is increased, we are decreased, and men and women around us see not our righteousness,
the righteousness of Christ, which is in us, the hope of glory. Both of these are needed. Both of His righteousness showing through us and living and having its proper spot in our life, because it keeps us humble to understand that we cannot do this. It was His righteousness, but also it reflects and others see the righteousness of Christ in us. It's needful that we know that we have the righteousness of Christ, but it's just as needful for others to see the hope of glory in you and I. So you have to gird up your loins. Walk around with the breastplate of life. It's different. We're not called into darkness. We're called to be like a city, sit on a hill, a light that's not heated. We got too many of us Christians running around here in covert mode. We think we're in SEAL Team 6. Like we're sneaking up on somebody, going to trick them into thinking that we're a Christian. Different. Live out Christ. Let this world see the hope of glory that's in us. Let people know that you are a child of God. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Put on the whole armor of God. I am a child of God. And the breastplate of righteousness says it's upon you. And next thing it says, which is amazing to me, because next week when you look at verse 16, it says, above all, take the shield of faith. But yet he didn't start with the shield of faith, did he? He started with truth and righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You take on the whole armor of God, dear friend. You're going to have to live in truth. You'll worship God. Man's got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You have to put on the breastplate of righteousness so others see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because the next piece of armor is the gospel. The preparation of the gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again. And anybody that believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what so many folks not believe in the gospel that we present? They're not seeing the righteousness of Christ in our life. They're not seeing us girt up with truth. We're not living an honest life before men. So when we tell them about our Jesus, they're conflicted and confused. The preparation of the gospel of peace, being able to share the gospel with others. You know what opened more doors than anything in this world? You live in a way that this world knows that you are a child of God. And you shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel. Feet shod. Somebody help me. I think Vincent Lombardi may have said it. Maybe he didn't, because he was a defensive man, but somebody said it. They said this: the best defense is a good what? The Bible tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Lord's church. The best defense. Why is that? If you're on the move with the gospel, dear friend, it's harder for the wiles of the devil to get at you. He's got to shoot because you're moving. Because it's a moving target. To move the target. He said, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Take the gospel to others and let them experience the victory that you've experienced in Christ Jesus. We're talking about growth. We're talking about Christian and the battle that we face. Isn't it amazing that we talked about the whole armor of God? We've yet had one piece of equipment given to us by God that is going to strike
damage to the enemy. Isn't that amazing? Up to this point, there's no offensive weaponry. It's all defensive. You gird up the loins, I guess you can move quicker with truth, and you take the breastplate of right. That's to protect us, let others see the righteousness of Christ in us. And then he tells us to get out there and get busy. Preparation shot of the gospel. Have your feet shot, get moving, and tell others about Christ. Truth, righteousness, souls that are dying and going to the devil's hell. That's just a simple question. What part of these here take a daily part in your battle that you are living? What part are they? He tells us to take the whole armor of God. Twice he told us. This world needs Jesus, church. They need less of you and I, more about Jesus. They need less of our story and more of his story. Tell me of Jesus. More about Jesus than what I know. What part of this is in your daily battle plan? We plan as best we can to do things throughout the day. I guarantee you, if we'd give a moment of testimony, that some of us could stand up and tell us we got to-do lists for the next 6 weeks. We got things that we want to accomplish for the next 6 years. Would it include putting on the whole armor of God at any point in your life? It's important, church. I'm not here to beat you down. I'm telling you, dear friend, we've got work to do. Work to do. I can ask you this question. How many watched the news this past week, and how many times did it say, these two people got shot and dead. These two people in the car wreck to die. These four people got killed. They were planning to go somewhere. And I don't think it was eternity. But unfortunately, heaven and hell is real. And all of us are a breath away from either one. But if you don't know Christ, dear friend, at the moment of death, eternity and hell is your abode. Pastor, it's a lot easier to just say it in Sheol. They're going to spend eternity in the grave. The Bible says, in hell, the rich man lived with his eyes. Torment. Father, we love you. So when Jim comes and Sister Lois make their way here, we pray, God, you move. We are in a spiritual battle. And too often, Father, we as God's people, we fight and tug at each other, push and pull for our own preferences and our own way. When you clearly state, this whole thing is about you. God, use us. Help our church, help our individual families, help our individual men and women be a part of your battle plan. Your battle plan's about souls, not about getting our way. Bless our church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, church. Page 341.